The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. Apologies. You've caught me on a very, very bad day.
Howard, I don't even know how to respond to this situation. I honestly don't.
But
I
have carefully, to say Anthony, that, carefully, yeah.
I mean, careful and me don't usually go together. But let's just say that our news this morning has been full of this Twitter a break-in story.
I just
sort of wondered to myself, when you get a tweet from Barack Obama or Bill Gates saying, please send me some Bitcoin. I don't know what to say about that. Okay. I mean, everybody will just understand what I mean. Okay. And also again, ships burning in Iran. We're not going to talk about Iran today, but 7 ships burning in a port in Iran. Okay, we're just going to add that to the list of coincidental things that have been happening in Iran over the past few weeks. We'll just put it to that. I mean, there's again.
What is? I mean, is there any? What is? I mean, obviously, the speculation is that maybe Israel is involved in this, but there is a very, very clear mission to damage Iran's military infrastructure.
Well, it seems like it, even though I don't know that these ships are necessarily part of its military infrastructure, because I think there's a lot of focus on chemical plants and strategic assets, some of which we don't even know what they are. While you say the finger is being pointed at Israel, and of course it is true to some degree, it's kind of very gentle. You don't feel that there's a huge kind of it's you finger coming down from the international press. It seems to be kind of very, very low key. The Iranians are dealing with it very quietly. There don't seem to be big announcements or statements being made in the international press. It's just kind of on page 3 or 4 or 5 of the newspaper, if we could just imagine those old-fashioned newspapers that we once upon a time used to page through. Then it's kind of somewhere in the middle, which says, oh, by the way, there's another fire in Iran. And it is what it is, you know. I don't know. I mean, we'll just reach it. Everybody will jump to their own conclusions, but apparently this is in the court of Bushehr, 7 ships on fire.
I think we can walk very slowly and deliberately to our own conclusions. I mean, this is certainly not a once-off thing. Either way, Prime Minister Netanyahu has announced that a one-off government grant will be given to each family in Israel. How much is going to be given to each family?
Well, so it kind of depends on the number of children in each family, but for families that don't have children or for people who are singles, 750 shekels per person, everybody. This is not based upon whether you are needy or more needy or less needy. This is everybody. 750 shekels per person, 2,500 shekels for a family with 3 children, up to 3,000 shekels for a family with 3 or more children. So it's quite a significant sum of money. It's costing the Israeli taxpayer 6 billion shekels to give this one-off grant. It's kind of like the money that was given away by the US and the UK governments, although they did predicate the money as money that can only be spent offline. You couldn't do online purchases with the money that was given away by those governments. And I think that there was some logic to it in order to try somehow to kickstart the economy, the bricks and mortar economy, as opposed to the online economy, which seems to be doing pretty well under the current circumstances. But of course, it was noticeable that it was the Prime Minister himself who made this particular presentation on TV, rather than leaving it to other members of the government. He wanted to be at the front line, to be looking like the hero.
I was just going to say, I mean, that's all about optics, isn't it?
I think it's all about populism to some degree. Yeah. I think, it's caused a lot of drama internally within the government, within the Treasury itself. Many officials within the Treasury opposed to this particular giveaway. They think it's not helpful. They think it's not what the Israeli tax money should be spent upon. Some people even being threatened with being fired from the Treasury and being fired, having to take the blame for all Israel's economic woes right now. I mean, that's kind of been the message that was sent out in some quarters, saying, you know, you'll go home, and not only will you go home, but we will blame you for everything that's gone wrong up until now, and that's why we fired you, kind of thing, because people are opposed to this. Also, lots of opposition from within the opposition itself, the official political opposition, to giving away all of this money. It seems a fairly populistic kind of approach. A lot of people clearly don't need the money. And so the question is, what happens then? Well, for people who don't need the money, they could choose not to claim the money, which means that the money wouldn't go to a good cause in particular. It would just stay within government coffers. Or they could potentially claim the money and, I'm guessing, just donate it to a good cause, which I suspect a lot of people might choose to do. But there's no doubt that Israel requires a little bit of guidance, a little bit of help. There has been a lot of There have been many threats about going into another really serious lockdown. People are talking a lot about it. It's in the press. I'm not quite sure if it's just supposed to be scaremongering or if there's something real to this. I think a lockdown would be very damaging to the economy, but there are threats of lockdown. The number of new infections continues to be at unreasonably high levels. I wouldn't say that it's increasing, because we've kind of got to a situation where they're diagnosing around 1,500 new cases of COVID-19 each day. It sort of seems to have flattened out at that level, but unfortunately, more than 200 people considered to be seriously ill in hospital with the virus, and quite a large number, something like 80 of them, are being intubated at the moment. So the numbers have certainly increased, but the question is whether they're flattening out now potentially. I don't really know. We'll have to see how next week, what next week brings. And of course, it's going to be interesting to see how quickly they're managing to get this money into people's bank accounts, because it's all going to be distributed through the National Insurance Institute. And I'm not quite sure what the process is going to be for people to claim the money or to receive the money. So that in itself is going to be a logistical
we've certainly seen that as being a tremendous challenge here. South Africa giving people that that qualify for it 350 rand per month for a couple of months. It hasn't been an easy process at all for people to they put the systems in place, but it isn't a simple one at all. Moving on, an Israeli spyware firm continues to be under the spotlight through court challenges. Can you tell us about this?
So this is a company called NSO Group. It's been in the news a lot, especially for people who are kind of part of this world of spyware and cyberware and software that potentially does things that invade your privacy. I mean, that's simply what it is. This is a company that obviously has some very, very clever algorithms and software, and it has a product called Pegasus. That's their main system that they sell. And Pegasus is a system that can be used to remotely survey smartphones. So somehow they managed to find a way to plant the software onto a remote smartphone. It's all done without the user knowing about it at all. And once the software is on the phone, they're able to survey everything that goes on that phone. Not a lot of detail has been made public about exactly how it works, what information it can derive from the phone. But what we do know is that the software has been used potentially against journalists and against activists around the world, particularly in countries like, I don't know, Morocco and Saudi Arabia. And it was linked to some degree to the whole Khashoggi kind of issue. And so it's clearly very controversial, because on the one hand, you could use it for defense purposes and you could justify it by saying this is a way for us to survey and to get information about people who have the intention of damaging our state, committing terror acts against us, and therefore we're fully justified in surveying all their communications, because that's the way that we're going to keep people from being killed, people being harmed, damaged, or the country being attacked. On the other hand, the question is, how far do you allow that to go? So is it justified for you to deploy that on the phones of people who are just simply anti-government? They're not planning to carry out a terror attack, but they're just kind of a pain in the side, a thorn in the side of the sitting government, or they're just a little annoying and people want to use it for their own personal purposes. Maybe there's a kind of a personal issue going on between two different parties, and people potentially using this software in order to get information which would be considered to be invasion of privacy. And that's why the NSO group is really sailing very, very close to the edges of what's legally allowed and not allowed. And actually, the Israeli Ministry of Defense is involved in granting NSO the right to sell Pegasus license to various institutions around the world. So this is clearly under the auspices now of the Ministry of Defense in Israel, because of the fact that the software can go so far into invasion of privacy that they've decided that it has to come under the auspices of the Ministry of Defense. And in fact, Amnesty International challenged NSO spyware technologies in a court in Israel. And interestingly, the court ruled against the Amnesty action, stating that NSO was doing what it is entitled to do, and that that it has confidence in the thorough process used by the Ministry of Defense to grant licenses to those who should be entitled to receive licenses. Having said all of that, this is very controversial, no doubt at all. As clever as it is and as fantastic as it sounds and as useful as it can be to protect the state against terror, clearly this software is something which is very controversial and very dangerous and can go a long way towards invading privacy.
Yeah, very, very problematic indeed. And an Israeli Innovation Day is being held in China. This is interesting.
So yeah, I mean, the whole relationship with China is really fascinating, because Israeli tech and China are really becoming closer to one another. There's an Israeli Innovation Day that's being held in Nanjing in China as part of the Nanjing City's Tech Week, which they're holding there. And of course, China for Israeli technology represents a massive opportunity. First of all, there's amazing investment money available in China, as much as one wouldn't necessarily consider the Chinese economy to be a source of investment money, but they do have significant investment money. And the Chinese are very interested in investing in Israeli technology. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, the Chinese market goes without saying, even though there is a relatively small percentage of Chinese people who could potentially afford the types of goods and services that Israeli high-tech companies could produce. Having said that, the small percentage is still a very, very large number, and any Israeli company would be delighted to have its product or its software or its the service that it produces used in China. Of course, the slightly controversial side is the whole issue of the United States relationship with China, because Trump administration is trying to close down all links with China because of 5G and because of other things that are interrupting the relationship. So any closeness between Israeli tech and China potentially comes at the expense of a close relationship with the United States. Having said that, somehow the Israeli companies are managing to find the middle ground. And we see, for example, the organizations that have sprung up, like the China-Israel Innovation Center, which is holding a conference promoting global innovative culture, also as part of Nanjing's Tech Week. Mm-hmm. So there is certainly a closeness developing between China and Israeli tech, but the politics, as always, will come into it. We will see how all of that develops as time goes on.
Indeed. Very, very interesting. Anthony Reich, this is where we love and leave you. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, and have a Shabbat Shalom.